This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Folks, Lawrence Holmes is breathlessly watching the rivalry between the 2024 Chicago White Sox and the 2025 Colorado Rockies, because the Rockies have a real shot to lose more games than the White Sox.
I'm not against the state of Colorado. When you go to Denver, you think that you're in the mountains, and you're not.
Colorado, I like it.
John Denver, Rocky Mountain High, Mountain Mama.
Rocky Mountain High?
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff about the Denver airport. Do a deep dive.
I'm intrigued.
I don't suppose they told you anything in Denver about the tragedy we had up here during the winter of 1970?
I don't believe they did.
Alex, why are you shaking your head?
You could do a real deep dive on that and end up in a wormhole. I'm just saying.
Occult stuff.
Are the terminals in the shape of a pentagram as well?
You're getting warm.
I think you can appreciate why I wanted to tell you about it.
I certainly can, and I also understand why your people in Denver left it for you to tell me.
And when you land, you're about 5 miles away from the terminal.
I didn't like the Denver airport, though. You know an airport where you take a flight and then you gotta take a train? Bro, we flew 1,800 miles. Can we fly two more?
There have been thoughts on, like, that is where the shadow government might be.
I believe the plan to suspend the Constitution is directly tied to the underground facility called Mount Weather.
Because of how far away
it is. What do you think, Alex, huh?
Hey.
Yeah? So you agree?
He's ready to jump in now.
Alex Jones?
Let's get to a break.
I'm becoming a psycho. I realize that about myself. I am. I watch conspiracy theory and, like, slap fights till, like, 2 in the morning on YouTube, you know? Hey, I start, like, piecing together. I'm becoming that guy. I'm like that guy, you know, you sit there, you're sitting there drinking in a bar and all, you know, some guy's cool, you're talking about the game, then all of a sudden he's just like, you know, there's no gold behind our currency. You realize that? You're like, oh, yeah, that's great. Pick up your drink and walk away.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Sometimes it's true, though. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We are here with you until Cubs baseball. Speaking of the Cubs, their manager, Craig Counsell, will join us in about 10 minutes. We are also going to talk with Dave Wannstedt. He joins us at 3 o'clock, and Jason Leisure is going to join us at 4. Oh, I did not wear the headphones in solidarity today with Alex Kuhn. They're in my locker. I'll get them during next break. He's here. Tanny has got the open. He's taking care of us today. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello. The Colorado Rockies, by the way, are on pace to win 22 games and lose 140.
What's the pace the White Sox are on?
Not a lot better, but it's...
That game got away from them last night.
It's definitely better, though.
I will say, though...
White Sox have, what, 7 wins?
7-22.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that watching the dog day thing was enjoyable. Watching Connor basically interview dogs yesterday during the broadcast was fantastic.
39 wins. White Sox on pace for 39 wins. So, yes, they're also on pace to break their own record.
Yep.
From last year. Championship!
Dan's going to owe me a dollar.
A crisp dollar bill.
That's usually our bet, except for that one time when Amir Smith-Marset returned the punt for a touchdown. That was a 20-1. So I got 20 crisp dollars.
Did he hand
Dan.
It over at
oh,
that
yeah.
time?
Yeah. He was like, I'm going to Venmo you. I was like, no, you're not.
Damn.
You're going to put 20 crisp dollar bills in my hand.
Should give that back? I mean, man, guy doesn't have a job.
Yeah. Wow. And you took it to a really dark and unnecessary place.
That's
but
my,
it's fine.
That's kind of what I do every once in a while.
Yeah. 20 crisp dollar bills. It felt good. I still have those too.
20 singles?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's nice. Did he go get new ones?
He did.
That's a classy move.
And he was annoyed, which was the whole point.
It was the one time on the old Mac Yurko and Harry show on a different network. Mac had to pay off a bet and he brought him like $2,000 in nickels or something like that.
Yeah. Guess who wheeled that radio flyer wagon full of nickels?
Was that during your internship?
That's during my brief internship.
No!
Up the dial, yeah.
No!
Harry's Nichols, yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah.
Why is your text moniker not Harry's Nichols? And
it
how,
is,
how do we do that now?
That's his shadow account. Or is either Tanny's or Rick Hans. One of them has that as their shadow Twitter account.
Before we talk to Craig Counsell in a moment about a roster move and a whole bunch more stuff with the Cubs, last night when Shota Imanaga left in the sixth inning, something happened in our text thread because I was listening on the radio and you guys were watching on the TV.
So you were way ahead of us.
I wasn't, because here's what happens. Because
I think Alex and I are both, we're both streamers, right? So we were watching, and usually the stream is like way behind.
Yeah, I was on cable.
Okay.
You were on stream and Speaks.
Here's what I can tell you. If you use the MLB at Bat app and listen to the game via the MLB at Bat app, it's actually a couple of pitches ahead.
So you can sync it.
You can just pause on the MLB at Bat app and time it out where it's locked up with the TV. So I did that last night, and I was listening to Ron Coomer and Pat Hughes and Zach Zabeman for those innings. And when Shota went out, I already knew what he was suffering from, because the inning prior, our guy Coom had it nailed because Shota was smacking his quad, and Coom knew exactly what that was.
That time, Shota missing with a changeup. 2-0.
Shota banging his back leg, which would be his left leg in the quad. Hopefully he's not getting kind of cramping in that leg.
Boom goes the dynamite. So the next inning when he goes out, Coomer's like, yeah, I'm sure it's just cramps. And like, that it really helped you relax, because people were freaking out who were watching the TV broadcast.
I know I was, because it's rare that you see a guy just be like, give the ball to the manager and leave. And that's what happened last night. And I'm like, oh, man, you already had one of these things. Now you're going to have another. That's going to make things difficult. So how about this? How about we take a break, and when we come back, we can get an update from the actual manager of the Cubs. He'll tell us how Shota is doing next here on The Score.
Manager number 11, Craig Counsell.
Craig Counsell.
We're going to do that show this year, yes. The Spiegel guy.
Lawrence, don't call me Larry.
MLB veteran for 16 seasons.
Swing on a bouncer. Shortstop. Counsell throws. Got him. Counsell picked it up clean and threw a strike to first.
Two-time World Series champion.
His teammates call him Rudy. And Rudy has just tied game one of the 2001 World Series with a first inning home run.
Manager for your Chicago Cubs.
When you talk to some of the guys, they talk about playing with Tucker and kind of like what they get from that. Do you remember that as a player when you played with the Cubs? You've been the great players, like what it was like to watch that in person?
Yeah, I mean, you remember it. You remember, you're like, so you're high-fiving them all the time. That's what you're doing.
Craig Counsell with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We are happy to have the manager of the Cubs, Craig Counsell, on the show. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. We will have Cubs baseball for you tonight, starting at 5:05 here on The Score with Zach and the pregame as the Cubs continue their series with the Pirates. Matthew Boyd will pitch for the North Side Nine. Lineup is not in yet, but maybe we could talk to Craig about what that might look like. He joins us now here on The Score. Craig, thanks for joining us. First things first, how is Shota Imanaga?
He's good. It was cramps. So we're just going to have to try to address that with hydration and electrolytes and kind of the standard things, and hope it was just a one-time experience.
Did you have like a cramp thing that you did? Did you like do pickle juice or
potato chips?
Potato chips, Gatorade, some sort of mix. What was your thing when you were playing?
I didn't really, and I've never had the issue. Maybe I didn't work hard enough, so I never had the issue. But it was no, I never really had a big issue with it. We've got enough people to work on it, so hopefully we do the best we can, and it's just like I said, it's just a one-time thing. It was scary going out there, but when we heard it was just cramps and both legs were involved, then you kind of actually feel a little better. He feels good today. He's ready to go today. He's going to do his normal day.
Craig, we talked to Nico Horner yesterday, who mentioned that sometimes he sees Shota like swimming or walking in that little wave pool that you have at Wrigley wearing like the full shower cap covering that beautiful hair. Wanted to know if you've seen that and what do you think of that look for Shota Imanaga in the pool?
I have not seen it. Yeah, that's in the depths of the training room. But yeah, I mean, he's got a good head of hair, so I don't blame him for that.
Yeah, I agree. He's got it's between him and Dansby when it comes to the lettuce for me on your team. You guys that have a really strong head of hair, and you go,
Craig's is pretty good.
It is.
For a manager, he's got to be up there in terms of manager hair.
We'll check Fangraphs and see where he falls in that regard. Manager hair category. One fossil.
Interesting.
You know,
it's not interesting. It's not okay. Interesting.
We're stupid.
Yeah, we're idiots. All right, look, Chris Flexen is rumored to be here. Is that true? Is Chris Flexen here to pitch after a lot of really good starts in the minors, like five really good starts? And I think you have to do something with the 40-man roster at that point, if that's the case as well.
Yeah, we optioned Tom Cosgrove. Chris Flexen is active. And Javier Assad will be moved to the 60-day injured list. So that's the transaction for today. And yeah, Flexen will be here, and he'll, you know, I think the best comp, he'll probably serve like the Colin Ray's role as that what Colin did to start the season. That's the kind of job we're thinking right now.
So yeah, he's been a swing guy. He's had experience doing that, but obviously was a successful starter. I was reading, is there a change to his arm slot? Cause that rings a bell. Cause Colin Ray's arm slot change has been really, really effective. So, can you tell us about that?
Not particularly. I mean, nothing, I wouldn't say substantial. Yeah, there's a lot of arm slots that have just fallen a little bit in Major League Baseball this year. I sometimes start to wonder if that's just the kind of how the data is picking up some stuff, but that's, yeah, nothing substantial with Flexen.
All right, cool. And then one more thing on that. So Ben Brown's still in the rotation. You had some thoughts about his last start. Yeah, did you think about that, or is that something you're
Ben Brown's in the rotation.
Okay. All right. Well, there it goes.
Craig, how satisfying has it been to get the production that you've gotten from the catcher spot?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're going to kind of overachieve and do something special, frankly, you got to have some surprises, and we're getting some surprises from our catching, obviously, right now, and that production has been super impactful. You know, Carson Kelly's off to just a heck of a start, right? So it's a big deal. I mean, that's a surprise. There's no question about it.
Have you noticed changes in him, or has he always had this kind of power in there, and it's blooming more now? What has happened to him?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's talented. He's always been a talented player. I think he's on a hot streak, right? And with the start of a season, and he's about 55 plate appearances in, and he's playing really well. So you hope you know players go in this, and hopefully they can, you know, capture it a little bit and extend it and make it last, maybe not at this level, but make kind of the feelings from it last a little longer and turn up a really good season.
Moved him up in the order last night, and that paid dividends immediately with the two-run homer. Was the choice based on giving Carson more chances or reorganizing in some other way? How'd you come to the decisions you made with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I think Carson has been, you know, swinging the bat and just taking great at-bats and acknowledging that. And then Dansby's been struggling a little bit and acknowledging that. So, essentially, that was the switch. They both homered last night, coincidentally. And so, hopefully, we're just trying to get Dansby going a little bit and taking advantage of Carson in a really good stretch.
We often talk to managers about stuff like this, and I'm sure that we'll ask you about this multiple times throughout the season, but when a player is struggling, what's your approach? Are you hands on or hands off with the player themselves when it comes to trying to figure out what's wrong? Are you letting them work through it?
Well, I mean, I think the trick is in the baseball season is that every players struggle during the season. They're going to struggle. You're going to go through bad stretches. And, you know, whether whether to act on that and how much to and how much to kind of adjust. But I think, yeah, you just kind of communicating with Dansby, and he knows he's struggling and he's trying to figure some things out. And he's also a player that's traditionally kind of been on the far end of the streaky kind of category. Like he has a hot 10 days and that kind of makes up for the rough month, right? And he gets to the same kind of offensive number pretty regularly in his career. So that's just, you know, you have to kind of ride with that with your players. And that's through communication, and that's through understanding who they are as players.
Craig Counsell, the manager of the Cubs, is with us here. It's a Spiegel and Holmes show on The Score. I've missed the last couple times, I think, with Craig.
Yep.
Right? So
you've been busy?
I mean, I think I had some family stuff. Is that all right? Or should I?
Yeah.
Wow. No, I like how you tried to make Craig feel guilty on that.
Well, yeah, like, I know. I did. I felt you did right away.
Well, I mean, I felt like you were coming after me a little bit with the busyness thing.
My goodness.
I mean, I was. Yeah, I have a life. I have a life, Craig, if that's all right, man. I mean, jeez. So do you, don't you? I mean, your kids are playing all over. What, you got a kid at Northwestern? What, you got like five kids playing on five different college teams. Do I have that right?
I got two. Okay. No, just two. Okay. Yeah, just two. But yeah, they're doing, my older son hit a big homer last night in a game, so that was fun to watch after the game.
That's awesome. Playing at Northwestern? Is the older one at Northwestern?
It was Kansas versus Missouri. He had a big three-run homer in the first inning. It was fun.
Man.
So how do you, growing up, being someone that you had your major league career, and now you're a major league manager, when it came to Babe Ruth League and Little League and high school ball and travel ball, were you just in the corner? Or were you working with the coach and working the umpires? What was your approach
there?
Yeah, no,
I was working on berating umpires at youth league games because I thought that would prepare me for this job. And, yeah, I think it prepared me well. Yeah, so a lot of youth umpires in the Milwaukee area, not a big fan of me.
Those guys making $10 an hour, man. They gotta hear it sometimes, yeah, you know?
How else are you going to get better, Craig?
No, I respect the heck out of those guys. I would never say a word to a youth umpire. I was in the corner just watching, you know, you're there just as mainly. I always think you're there so that your kids know you're there and you're supporting them. That's it.
But the other baseball parents must have been pretty psyched to try and talk some ball with Craig. Were you giving of your time in those situations?
I mean, I enjoyed going to practices, I think, with the kids and helping out there, yeah. Games, you know, not so much. Yeah, just you do your thing.
It's pretty cool, though.
That's very cool.
Having a dog in the fight. I had, like, one season where I had a daughter as, you know, a D3 softball player. And just that feeling of being able to cheer for your own, it's, like, it's a completely different thing, isn't it? You must have loved it.
Yeah,
you must still love it.
There's a reason why youth sports is a huge industry is because cheering for your kids is the best thing in the world, and that's why youth sports is a huge industry now.
It's pretty amazing. And so is the start that you guys have been off to. I heard Coom talking about this in pregame yesterday. If you looked at the schedule, you go, man, this is. I mean, we even talked about it. We were like, hey, Mother's Day will let us know kind of where the Cubs are at because this is an impossible schedule that they have. But through it, you guys are playing 600 baseball. Through 30 games, you're 18-12. And I heard Coom say that when you guys discuss this, you're like, look, forget about the games that you've played. Like, you can't look at the Pirates and go, well, there's an easy series for us. So how do you express that to players, or do players even need that expressed to them?
Well, we talked about it yesterday, actually, before the series, and I think, you know, it's, you know, we had a fun start to the season. I think that the trip to Japan was a great team bonding experience. We have played a difficult schedule. Everybody's told us about that. We haven't won anything because of it. We're just done with that part of the schedule. And I think this was yesterday was the start of a new part of the schedule. We're in the division for the first time. We're kind of into the grind of the schedule in the sense that, like, we've had a bunch of off days in April, too, because of the trip to Japan. That's gone. And so we're in the major league schedule right now. And you know, nobody hands you anything. You got to go out and win a game. And the guys responded last night, and they get tested again tonight. And that's how it works. So you kind of put your head down in terms of, like, looking at the standings or worrying about where you're at, and just do your job every day and make sure as a team you're connected and taking care of each other and getting each other to give their best every single day.
It seems like your nature, Craig, is objective and rational, but there have been moments this year where it feels like, oh my goodness, this team has some magic. Can you relate to that? Have you ever had moments so far this year where you're like, oh my God, some of these ridiculous comebacks where it feels sort of special and destined? Do you let yourself think about it like that at all?
I think those games are fun. I mean, we've had a lot of fun. I mean, last Tuesday night at Wrigley, the Dodger game, April at Wrigley, a warm night, that was fun. Anybody who was there, like, that was a special night. It was just a fun night of baseball. We're playing a great team, and it was a crazy game, and maybe we had no business winning the game, and we somehow pull out a win. And that's just, it's just fun, man. And I think anytime you can have that fun together, absolutely. That's bonding. That's connecting to me. It says you can do it. You kind of put it in your back pocket and you know you got it.
Yeah, you said after that game that it's the kind of game that can have lasting effect till later in the year. And that was fascinating. In what way?
Well, I just think you need to show yourself as a group that you can do things that are improbable, right? Because you get faced with so much failure in the season, right? And they say, oh, you can't do it. And so you need those moments that as a team, you know, you know, hey, we can do it, right? And that's just psychology, man. You just need those moments to always have hope.
About a month ago, we talked about Pete Crow Armstrong and approach at the plate. And I thought that, as per usual, your thoughts on it were very level-headed. How satisfying is it for you to see him succeed like this? And I know that there was the hot streak that he went on at the end of last season, but to see, like, all of his game being present and what it's doing for your team, how satisfying is that for you?
Yeah, it's fun because I'm happy for the team and I'm happy for Pete. And it's also fun to watch just a player like that. I mean, these are the kind of people you pay to watch people like this play baseball, man. Like, this is a fun player to watch. It's not just what is he going to do as at bats. It's when he's on base, it's on defense, it's entertaining the crowd. It's everything, right? You know, it's fun that player plays for the Cubs, man. Like, we got one of those guys, and our fans should be thrilled about that. It's really cool that we get to watch Pete play, and it doesn't have to always be perfect too, man. Like, it's sometimes it's the failure too, man. That's all right. And it's been fun watching Pete go through it. He's growing up. He's getting better. And I'm enjoying, I think we're all enjoying watching it.
100%. Craig, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Good luck tonight against the Pirates.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is Cubs manager Craig Counsell joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. And a lot of good stuff in there. I always think that the youth sport topic is actually a fascinating one. Like, how people interact with it, how much money people have to spend on youth sports, the traveling that goes on, that people have to endure to then try to figure out whether or not their son or daughter is going to get a scholarship, because sometimes people just lie to you and tell you that your son or daughter is going to get a scholarship so they can get you in their camp or on their team. But I love hearing, I'm doing like a whole series on this. Like, I love the guys that we grew up kind of watching, seeing them as sports dads is awesome.
Yeah, that makes sense. And imagining Craig as that sports dad. And it's special, man. That one year I had watching Lake Forest softball, you know, in the D3, and I had a fellow dad text me during the interview being like, Foresters, because like that season of traveling around and going to the Division III and the tournament in Pella, Iowa, and you know, and just being even a small part of that
Pella,
thing.
Pella, Iowa is.
Yeah, man, it's where they make those
windows.
Exactly right.
I know you know about that.
I do. I'm a veteran of the window industry. I'm a Russ Armstrong guy. I'm a Chicago window guy.
As you should be.
But yeah, just being a part of that, and it's like there's no feeling like it. I just had a fraction of it. Good stuff on PCA right there. Craig Counsell saying, we've got one of those guys. We've got one of those guys.
And isn't that the hope? The hope is that you have one of those guys.
And he's an acknowledgement of like, I mean, the special power speed combo platter has always been the thing, you know, in baseball, that magical thing, whether it's a five tool center fielder back in the day that you talk about, like Willie Mays and Ken Griffey and Julio Rodriguez and young Mike Trout and all these things, or these days, just the electric athlete who has the power and the speed. There's one on Pittsburgh. O'Neill Cruz
is having a rough time in center field.
He is the worst defensive center fielder in baseball.
He's having a rough time. Like watching some of the choices and some of the routes. There was also another one of those Kyle Tuckers last night on the little duck snort. I was like, huh?
could have hustled in there.
I wasn't quite sure, and I didn't see a good enough replay. But as it happened, I was going, huh? This just kind of fell in front of him.
Yeah.
It didn't matter, but he's
got his issues out there. But like, it's great. It's fun watching Ellie De La Cruz play defense. He's one of those guys, and he's got the defensive package. And it's fun. Pete is that guy.
I'd rather
have Pete than O'Neill Cruz. And imagine saying that a year ago or a year and a half ago when O'Neill came up, was like, oh my god, look at that. He throws it faster than anybody. he hits it faster than anybody. He runs faster than anybody. But I've had moments of watching that guy real close. I remember one game sitting behind the Pittsburgh dugout, and I was watching that guy, and I was like, man.
To be, 6'7", or whatever he is.
But what I was noticing, Lawrence, was the interpersonal, just like no teammates talking to him. Like him lollygagging his way out to shortstop, being late to get out there, being slow to
come
back.
Maybe he needs those extra 10 seconds.
Okay, Jose Altuve. But yeah, PCA is that dude, and Council knows it. There's a lot of interesting things happening with this team. The Michael Bush, Justin Turner calculus may have
been interesting.
It's not. But
follicles above replacement. The
Bush Turner calculus may have changed last night. I meant to get to that, but the Michael Bush started against the lefty Andrew Haney last night, and I don't know how many starts he's had. But I know that every time a lefty comes in, we've seen Justin Turner pinch hit for Michael Bush just about every time, whether he's hitting four or wherever. So seeing Bush last night against a lefty might be an important moment in that sort of balance.
I like Council giving him an opportunity to do that, too. It's good. By the way, we are going to give away some opportunities and some seats to check out Mully and Haw and them do their show live on Friday, May 16th. At the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Be the sixth caller to 312-540-0670. When you hear this.
How could you not defend Josh Giddey? But you got the nerves to talk about me.
Brandon Stephen A. Smith is outstanding.
It's really, really good. I hope he's doing it more these days.
It is outstanding. We're going to hook you up with some seats to come and be a part of the studio audience as the guys get ready for the Crosstown series. It's always good when those shows are there. There's great energy, even for as early in the morning as Mully and Haw are on. So be listening for that throughout the afternoon. The thing I love about the PCA conversation, Speaks, is when we were talking, like if we go back to March, we go back to early March and we're talking about Jed in his interview with Cap and where he's like, well, you know, we're going to have to outdo our projections. PCA was the guy that we identified. And we said, if there's someone who's on your roster that could
blow up,
turn into a five war player, it's him. I think at this point, Dansby is who he is. Ian is who he is. To a certain extent, Nico is who he is. And those guys are guys that are going to hover around four. PCA has the opportunity to be a five win or above player. So to see him playing that way early on, I think is very, very cool.
Agreed. There is a, you know, the fact that PCA is doing this and Carson Kelly and Miguel Amaya are doing what they're doing is letting you survive the third base thing pretty comfortably.
Yes.
As frustrated as we all are, and I'm extremely frustrated with the third base situation, there is not a major league regular third baseman on this roster. And for that to be the case after a year when you had seven different people play the position and you got rid of all of them, and now here you are at the end of April and you don't have a full-time third baseman on this roster right now. John Birdie's a solid utility guy, and he should be there all the time, in my opinion, right now. But they don't have one, which is crazy. But they're surviving it. Look where the offense is.
They're thriving.
They're thriving.
18 and 12, they're thriving right now.
They're thriving with that. So there are moments where you want to rip the third base situation. And believe me, I get it. And I've done it. And I was doing it on Sunday night, watching Vidal Brujan misplay that ball, you know, and allow an extra run to score. But Julian Merriweather walked, what, three guys in that inning? Mm-hmm. So there's other stuff.
Got,
but like,
got squeezed a little bit, too.
But they are thriving with one dude at one position who's one spot that is really inferior. So it's kind of amazing that they are. They're surviving and thriving even with that issue.
Let's move the backdrop to talking about the Bears. Why? Because Dave Wannstedt is going to be on the show, and we are looking forward to a conversation with him about the draft. That's next here on The Score.